One of the most common things we hear about is acting out misbehavior, tantrums in public.
Yeah. Now, when we see that kind of thing, you know, all kids will try it because they're scientists. They have to experiment with what'll work. And if they find something that works, they turn it into an art form eventually. But, you know, if we're really running the home and not the kids, you know, then we have a problem out in public and we get in their face and we pray for a little bad breath and we put a little steel in our voice and we say, what do I expect right now? You know, and that can kind of turn it around if we're actually running the home.
That's
but
right.
If the kids are running the home, that won't work at all, and we may need to go back and really get things squared away at home.
So, yeah, you're talking about dealing with misbehavior in public by starting at home and really getting it locked in that you're the one who's running the home in a loving way. In other words, when you say something, it means something.
In other words, yes means yes, no means no.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's not okay that they know what that means.
That's right.
But that means that at home we have to once more really get more consistent with the uh-oh song.
Uh-oh song.
Uh-oh
right.
song, yeah.
That's right. And another part of that, too, is just when we say something like, you may have that as long as you're not hitting the dog with it. As soon as the kid hits the dog with it, it's gone.
Yeah.
We take it away. It's probably gone forever.
Yeah.
Right? See, what happens is if they have a lot of experiences like that where we don't back down, we don't threaten, we don't give repeated warnings, then when we're out in public, their little minds are a lot more likely to think, oh, gosh, you know, something bad could happen if I keep testing.
Okay. And if we do that, we still may need to have a strategic training session for the trip out into public.
Now, what in the world is a STS, strategic training session?
In other words, we may need to engineer a scenario where we have total control.
Yeah.
Where we can take charge of this situation without even ever raising our voice.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about a typical training session would be this lady who had twins. 3-year-old twins, and they have a communication system that beats anything that I've ever seen.
Telepathy.
Yeah, and they're always ganging up on her.
Yeah.
So they started acting out in the car, both at the same time, having all this fighting and bickering and all of that. So what she did is she set up a little training session, and she had Mary, her friend, follow her. Now, Mary had 2 car seats. That's why Mary followed her. So they were started acting up in the car, and Mom told them to stop, and they didn't stop. So she pulls over to the curb, goes around, opens the door, and by this time, Mary has been following her
as per the plan, and
is now standing out on the curb beside Mom. And Mom is saying to the kids, well, I don't put up with that kind of stuff. You're going to need to get in Mary's car, and she'll take you home to your room, you know, because, these 2 kids, we're not doing it. You can't make us. They're making a great big scene. And she was so ready for that. She almost laughed right in their face. She said, have it your way. Mary went around and got in Mom's car and drove them off, and Mom went off in Mary's car to go shopping.
Oh, so they wouldn't get out of the car, so Mary just drove the car.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
So, of course, Mom was eating her hot fudge sundae and drinking Coke when she came home. But do you think those kids figured that out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you do the same thing in the store?
Sure.
Have Mary follow you down to the store.
Yeah. And it's real important that you don't let the kids know what you're going to do in advance.
I mean,
it's really got to happen, like, you know, out of the blue to them, and make it look really easy so you're real relaxed about it. And then their minds are thinking, well, you know, gosh, Mom could do anything.
Unpredictable.
Yeah, yeah. I have a friend who's having problems with a little kid acting out at the park. So she took the little kid to the park. She calls up her friend ahead of time and says, hey, can we have a play date? And I may be very rude. I may just get up and leave without saying goodbye. And so the friend knows what's going to happen. And mom is just praying the kid will throw sand or something like that, you know. And as soon as the kid throws sand, mom says, "Up, I'm going." You know, she starts walking. The kid can't believe it.
Yeah.
And, "Oh, I'll be good. I won't do it again." "Oh, I know you feel bad about it. Well, we're going home anyway." And off they went. Really, what that says to the kid is that mom and her dad are really serious. Now, I
so why did she have her friend there?
Oh,
I bet.
Well,
it's been case that the little kid refused to leave, right?
Right, and her friend had the kid's best friend there, too. So,
oh, I see.
Oh, it's really fun. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. But one of the things that I think has to happen in almost every home from time to time is when the kids are really been snotty out in public, for the parents to hook up with a babysitter, one who is not mean but is knows that they're going to have to be real boring, right?
Yeah.
And the parents don't say anything, and they say, you know, we're going such and such a place, and it's usually the kid place the kids like too. But you guys aren't coming because we're worried about, you know, how you're going to behave. And so you'll be staying with Mary or Mabel, right? And you know her, and she'll ask you how you plan to pay her for the time. And by the way, she's got a headache, so she doesn't want to hear anything that makes noise like TV or anything like that.
Yeah,
and Mary's just there to supervise, to be just kind of businesslike and kind of dull. Right. And you go off and you have a good time together. That does a couple things. First of all, it says to the kids, you know, hey, we're serious about this. The second thing it does is it gives you a break.
Yeah.
I've had parents say, you know, I'm doing that right away.
Yeah.
I don't even care if it helps the kid. I want a break.
So we can use this with defiance.
Yeah.
This works great with defiance.
I'm not doing it. You can't make me. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. So I remember the lady who said they were going to go sledding.
Oh, yes.
Remember that story?
Yeah, yeah.
They were going to go sledding on Saturday. Well, she'd set up sledding because this kid had been defiant a lot. And on Friday night, she asked him to go to his room. I think, see, I believe that all kids should have a full-length mirror in their room. That way you can always say to the kids things like, well, I think there's somebody in your mirror who would much rather listen to that snarky attitude. So go talk to them, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she sent him off to his room to talk to the person, the only person in the world who would like to listen to his nonsense.
And what's really good is for them to see how ridiculous they look, too.
Yeah, right.
You know, I worked at a psych hospital, and from time to time we had this thing. It was called video therapy. And,
yeah,
and basically, when a kid was really acting out, we'd video him and then play it for him, you know. And let them see how it looked. And, they'd do anything to avoid having to look at themselves.
Well, so she sent him off to the room. And this kid said, "I'm not going. You can't make me."
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh, bad decision." See, that's a favorite thing that parents, Love and Logic parents, say. Bad decision.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to do something about that. But not right now. And so the next morning when it was time to go sledding, she suddenly remembered that problem last night. "Oh, man, you were so defiant last night.
Oh,
if that would happen out when we were sledding, what a hassle." Well, see, big pause. "I guess you can go with us someday when we don't have to worry about this anymore." And off they went, and you can guess, the babysitter walked right in to take over. And I think she was kind of sadistic. Wasn't she the one who kind of left the tailgate open on the...
I think she drove by the front window on the way out with the sled hanging out the back.
And, of course, when this happens, who pays for the babysitter?
Oh, the kid, yeah.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you just need to buy the kid something they really love ahead of time so they have something they can use as currency.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I mean, we giggle and we laugh about this. Don't get us wrong. This is not about being mean to kids. It's got to be done with a lot of love and not sadistic, even though we joke about that. But it's got to be done with a lot of love, a lot of compassion. And it's all about helping them have happier lives later on.
And the reason we laugh, and, you know, people in the audience, our audiences will laugh. And I think what that is they realize right at that moment, first of all, that they're going to be in control instead of the child.
Yeah.
And two is, this is probably the last time this kid is going to act that way. And that's worth laughing about, isn't it?
Yeah. And really, it's such a gift when you can do something big and have to do it once, rather than have this relationship that's just fraught with lectures, threats, yelling, kid acting out. And see, we do that too often, don't we? Yeah. We love our kids so much, it hurts us when they're disappointed or uncomfortable. And you know, as tough as I sound on this audio sometimes, I'm real softy. I mean, I have the hardest time when people are upset. I mean, I'm basically, both of us are that way.
Sure.
We've talked about that before. We're kind of genetically programmed to want everybody to be happy. And so when somebody is hurting, I think my tendency is to be a helicopter and kind of rescue them. But we realize that we have to put the head over the heart sometimes and do something that's fairly decisive and maybe even something that's a little bigger so that we only have to do it once and we can enjoy the kid.
Yeah. I guess if I'd want you to remember anything at all about this is I've heard it so often when people say, well, I got to do one of those training sessions with my kid. Well, how often did you do it? Well, I only got to do it once. Yeah. See, here's the thing we want you to remember. When we use a really effective technique, we don't get to do it very often. But when we use ineffective techniques, we find ourselves doing them day in and day out and more and more and more. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's really a gift for the kids to be able to learn now. It's kind of like pay now or pay later. And paying later is kind of like credit cards. You know, if you pay later, it's always more, right? Yeah. And more for us and more for the kid, more pain for them. So
on our Facebook wall, we had somebody write to us just yesterday saying what a joy it was to spend the day with her grown, now adult children, you know, that she had used these kind of things when they were little, but now the real reward is there because she has years and years of good relationships with these adult children.
Yeah, isn't that neat? That Facebook is really fun to get on and see our page, and it's really positive. There are a lot of success stories that a lot of people, though, type in and say, gosh, I can't get the kid. This isn't working quite right. And then people will chime in. I mean, we have a lot of fans on there that are really good with kids, and they'll chime in and say, hey, I changed it a little bit. Try this out. You know, and boy, when we first started Facebook, I thought, oh, goodness, I'm going to have to get on there a lot and kind of police maybe some negative stuff or bad advice that people give. And it polices itself. Because if somebody says, well, just yell at the kid, you know, then there's about 24,000 people that chime in and say, that's not love and logic. So it's a lot of fun. And you can check that out.